Radio Corporation of America presents The Magic Key. Magic key turns, and the family of RCA, whose members include RCA Victor, RCA Communications, Radio Marine, and the National Broadcasting Company, unite to present over the nationwide NBC Blue Network a full hour of distinguished entertainment featuring Kirsten Flagstad, celebrated soprano of the Metropolitan Opera Company, Richard Himber and his Victor Recording Orchestra, the world-famous Irish tenor John McCormick, the historic Moscow Cathedral Choir, the popular English humorist and monologist Oliver Wakefield speaking to you from England, and Frank Black and the NBC Symphony Orchestra, who begin this afternoon's hour with Holiday from Turkish Fragments by Ippolito Fivano. During the war, the Russian army may have been short of ammunition, short of arms, clothing, and even food, but it had perhaps the greatest musical inspiration in the world, a magnificent chorus of 200 soldiers led by Nicholas Afonsky. Following the revolution, this talented musical director left Russia and began touring with small groups of singers under his leadership. At length, he organized 18 fellow exiles into a mixed choir, which soon became famous as the Moscow Cathedral Choir. Winners of every choral competition held in Europe during the past decade, This organization, with its amazing use of voices instrumentally, represents the highest art of choral singing in the traditions of old Russia. The magic key of RCA now turns to the Moscow Cathedral Choir under the distinguished direction of its creator, Nicholas Afonsky. Under the direction of Mr. Afonsky, the Cathedral Choir sings first Bortnyansky's Hymn of the Cherubim. The melodious voices of these colorful Russians blend to an old Ukrainian song, Violin in the Street. Gorgona is the title of the Russian folk song which the Moscow Cathedral Choir offers for its next number. Radio dance orchestras sometimes rob Peter to pay Paul. That is, by trying to make their music attractive to listeners, they make it unattractive to dancers. Richard Hember knows the art of pleasing both. Creator of many original musical effects, Richard Hember is not only one of radio's most popular maestros, but is also one of the most widely imitated. His many Victor records and his movie shorts have all been exceedingly popular, and it's no wonder, because his magic baton coaxes dance melodies into something more than just another number. The magic key turns to Richard Hember and his Studebaker champion, playing a typical Hember medley, including Yesterday from Jerome Kern's Roberta, then a selection recently recorded for Victor, Through the Courtesy of Love, featuring the romantic baritone of Stuart Allen, and a success from Red Hot and Blue, It's De Lovely. Richard Hember. Thank you.
That everybody will know that I'm yours wherever you go. Let me offer you this broadcast through the courtesy of love. Don't forget, whatever you do, I'll be there to follow you through with a word of consolation. Through the courtesy of love. What could there be between you and me to keep us apart? When I can sing the song that will bring the words from my heart, your desire will be my command. If you need me, I will be standing near. With one heart to give, one life to live, willing to offer all dear, I'll come to you through the courtesy of love.
Were you to search among the world's most important artists today, it would be impossible to select one more appropriate to this holiday program than the great Irish singer John McCormick. The secret of his universal popularity is not obvious. It is not his voice alone that brings him fame, nor his songs despite their charm. It is something he puts into the singing of those songs, a stroke that touches a universal chord in humanity. A universal delight in simple sentiment, exquisitely and beautifully conveyed to the hearts of people. Mr. McCormick is spending his Christmas holidays in New York among his old American friends, temporarily interrupting his current American tour. A familiar and beloved performer on the Magic Key program, we are happy to present again and welcome back the greatest of all singing Irishmen, John McCormick.
First number today is an exquisite little song of Mozart's written when he was 17 years of age. It's really an aria in miniature and is called Oh, What Bitter Grief Is Mine. My next song is naturally an Irish one. It was sung to Herbert Hughes and myself by an old Kerryman in Carrasaveen this summer. We found it very fascinating, and I'll sing it to you exactly as the old Kerryman sang it to me, except that I haven't got his delicious accent. I'll have to use my own. And it's beautifully arranged by Mr. Herbert Hughes, and as usual at the piano is Teddy Schneider. All right, Teddy? Banbridge town in the county down one morning last July. Down a boreen green came a sweet colleen, and she smiled as she passed me by. She looked so sweet from her two bare feet to the sheen of her nut brown hair. Such a coaxing elf, I was ashamed of myself, for to see I was really there. From Baltribe up to Derrike, and from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like the bright Colleen that I met in the county down. As she onward sped, sure I scratched me head, and I looked with a feeling rare. And I says I to a passer-by, who's the maid with the nut-brown hair? He smiled at me and he says to me, that's the gem in Ireland's crown. Young Rosie McCann from the banks of the Ban, she's the star of the county down. From Baltribe up to Derrike, and from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like the bright Colleen that I met in the county down. Oh. At the harvest fair, she'll be surely there, and I'll dress in me Sunday clothes, with me shoes shone bright and me hat cocked right, for a smile from the nut brown rose. No pipe I'll smoke and no horse I'll yoke, till me plough is a nut colored brown. Till a smiling bride be me own fireside is the star of the county down. From Baltry Bay up to Derrique, and from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like the bright Colleen that I met in the county down. My dear friend, that splendid American musician, Charles Wakefield Cadman, has written the next song especially for this broadcast. I am very grateful to him, and I hope that you will like it as well as I like it. It's called The Silent Hour of Prayer.
God calls us to the hour of prayer, far from the world apart, where I may hear his voice that speaks to every listening heart. God calls me to the hour of prayer, where deep within my breast, far from the world's mad tumult, I find sweet joy and rest. I find sweet joy and rest.
The new year, 1937, is just a few days away. It is sure to mark a new high in fine and exciting radio entertainment. You owe it to yourself and to your family during 1937 to have a radio set that will bring these splendid programs into your home just as they are broadcast. An RCA Victor radio will give you this perfection in reception. The reason is simple. RCA Victor radios are made by the only organization that builds everything in radio, from microphone to receiving sets, the Radio Corporation of America. So, next year, be sure your reception is RCA all the way, from studio to your living room. Listen to the remarkable performance of 1937 RCA Victor Magic Voice Radios, with Magic Brain, Magic Eye, and RCA Metal Tubes. And remember, prices are fitted to 1937 pocketbooks. RCA Victor sets begin at $20, and you'll find 28 models for less than $100. Easy terms and generous trade-in allowances can be arranged.
The Magic Key, unlocking a world of entertainment featuring Kirsten Flagstad, Richard Himber and his Victor Recording Orchestra, John McCormack, the Moscow Cathedral Choir, Oliver Wakefield and Frank Black and the NBC Symphony Orchestra, presented for your interest and pleasure by members of the family of RCA, the Radio Corporation of America. Frank Black, General Musical Director of the National Broadcasting Company, conducts the NBC Symphony Orchestra in the gay Spanish piece, Gracia, from Manuel Infante's Danzas Andaluzas, composed originally for two pianos and arranged for orchestra by Mr. Black.
You cannot blame the citizens of faraway South Africa for not realizing that the baby they christened Oliver Wakefield at the turn of this century would, on the afternoon of December 27, 1936, some 35 years later, seat himself in a room in London and speak to millions of people in America. We cannot blame these British colonials for this lack of foresight because they did not know that radio broadcasting was to be invented, nor did they know that young Oliver was to leave his home in South Africa. Oliver did leave, though, to go to England and America, where he was starred in musical productions and in smart nightclubs as a monologist. Back in the English capital today, he speaks to us in America as the magic key turns to Oliver Wakefield in London, England.
Hello, everybody. It's a great privilege to stand once again on British, you know, and talk to you in America through the magic keyhole and beat about because I had decided this afternoon to discuss rabbits and rabbit habits. But since I made that decision, I found out a little more about rabbits' habits, and I don't know, I feel that it's hardly on which to, you know, but I have discovered a lot of very uninteresting data about the hair. Now, not the stuff you parted in the middle, you know, but the animal that had the business with the tortoise in Allsop's fables, you know. You remember when the tortoise turned the fables on the and won by a short hair, you know? I remember that there was some sort of moral attached to that, and sort of the tortoise has taught us to study the ways, and of course, I love morals. I remember we had a nasty spot on the wall at home, and we covered it up with a moral. Or was it a mule? I can't remember quite which it, but we covered it up quite, but I seem to be wandering a little from the subject, which, if I remember right, it was the hare and the dog that bit it. And I'm sure that every one of you listening in has gone to the dog, been at one time or another, and seen them racing around Whitehall, chasing the elusive, and getting nowhere. It's terrific, you know. Now, if anyone was to ask me, I'd say that horse racing had it all over a dog. Terrifically exciting horse. Everybody having a bit each way, you know, and saying, looky, looky, here comes with the bookie, and the smell of the bookie, the turf under your, and they're off to a good. The favorite leads the field, then the field turns round and leads the favorite, and then the outsider comes in on the inside, and the inside, of course, goes out on the outs, and the jockey starts hugging the rails, you know? I don't know, it's an amazing time to start that type of thing. However, he probably knows what he's after, you know? Most jockeys know what. And now they're rounding the stretch. You're coming into the bend, their neck to neck, dancing cheek to, and the field is well bunched. When pandemonium breaks loose from the bunch, and his jockey urges him on as he flashes past the post at 5-3, just in time to go to the nearest for a quick. You know, it's amazing how many posts you can flash by, and I think the most interesting is the boat race post. You know, the one on the hat looks just like the, and very, very interesting sport, about very, very grueling, you know? You have to be absolutely in the pink. Of course, hunting, too, you have to be in the different type altogether of pink, you know? Hunting, it's cut very low at the band, it's up in there, and it has to fit you like a, you know? Boat racing pink is entirely. You only acquire it after rigorous months of feeling a fiddler, you know? I'm feeling as fit as a, and ready for love, of course, and I mean ready for the boat, which, as you all know, is rowed between Yale and Harvard and California and Poughkeepsie, and 16 men, and not necessarily good-looking men, you know, just the man, the oars, and put all their eggs in one basket. A little short shrimp of a fellow who sits up in the back of the... He has the reins in his... And he's the only one, you know, who actually knows where they're going. And I don't know, he calls them everything under the bridges. And finds, finally, Harvard flashes past the post with each length to spare. Very, very nice lengths they are to do, you know. They give one to each man to hang over his fire at home. And, of course, if any of you happen to have any spare length and knocking, or I hope and I trust you hung them up and had them well filled this Christmas. Thank you.
The magic key of RCA returns you to New York City.
Last Monday night, New York was treated to the most brilliant cultural event it has witnessed for many years when the Metropolitan Opera Association inaugurated its 53rd season with a magnificent presentation of Wagner's Die Walküre. Observers and critics reported that the highlight of this spectacular opening night was the superb performance of Madame Kirsten Flagstaff singing the role of Brünnhilde. Her tender and womanly treatment of this part and her skill in song were employed to give a beautiful and nobly expressive interpretation of this famous Wagnerian role. It is with pleasure that the magic key again turns to welcome Madame Flagstaff to her fourth appearance on this program. Madame Flagstaff.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to sing a song by Wagner, which he wrote as a study while developing the second act of Tristan and Isolde. He called it Träume, Dream. Thank you. My second song is by my countryman Edward Grieg, and by coincidence it bears the same title, but is in an entirely different mood. The song is En Drøm, or in English, A Dream, by Grieg. My own accompanist Edwin MacArthur is at the piano.
Radio Corporation of America is pleased to announce that Madame Kirsten Flagstaff will be heard again over this same station next Saturday afternoon, January 2nd, when the third of the RCA-sponsored broadcasts of the Metropolitan Opera performances is presented. Madame Flagstaff will appear in a complete production of the Wagner opera Tristan and Isolde, together with an extraordinary cast of Metropolitan Opera Company stars that includes Lauritz Melchior, Kirsten Torborg, and Ludwig Hoffmann. Tristan and Isolde will be broadcast in its entirety direct from the stage of the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City through the nationwide facilities of the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company. The Radio Corporation of America, head of the family of RCA, takes pride in bringing this distinguished entertainment to the millions of music lovers all over the world. The music just played by Frank Black and the NBC Symphony Orchestra was Fête Bohème from Scène Pittoresque by the French composer Jules Massenet. Next Sunday afternoon, the members of the family of RCA, which includes RCA Victor, RCA Communications, Radio Marine, and the National Broadcasting Company, invite you to tune into the Blue Network of NBC when the Magic Key will again turn to present another full hour of entertainment, an hour that will feature Max Reinhardt, the celebrated director of the stage and screen, introducing excerpts from the musical score of the new Reinhardt spectacle, The Eternal Road. Anya Dorfman, talented concert pianist. Le Petit Mircea, European child singer in a broadcast from Milan, Italy. Doc Rockwell, famous American comedian, presenting another Doc Rockwell lecture. Fats Waller and his Victor Recording Orchestra, and Frank Black and the NBC Symphony Orchestra.
This is Ben Grauer.
And Milton Cross speaking for one member of the family of RCA, the National Broadcasting Company.